the future is going to be a lot better or worse than you think. Let's talk about it on Key Life.
That's the frog for employees of Zebra. And this is Key Life, designed to get you home with freedom, joy, and faithfulness. If that is your desire, stay tuned as Steve opens God's Word.
Thanks, Mike. If you have your Bible open into the book of Micah, as we continue with our Old Testament survey, the book of Micah is a wonderful book in the sense that God speaks judgment, but he speaks mercy and grace. And you can't hear the mercy and grace till you hear the bad news. That's true from the New Testament standpoint. A lot of people accuse me of being antinomian, and I'm not antinomian. That's a word, and I told you this before, and you didn't listen. Coined by Martin Luther, it means against the law. A lot of people have said, you teach radical grace. You just say it doesn't matter. Yeah, it matters. The law is so important. And you got to hear the bad news. You can never soften the law. Got to be clear about what God says. And you got to speak it clearly. You got to speak it strongly. And then you smile and you say, but I've got some good news for you. The good news about God who is merciful and kind and long-suffering. At any rate, Micah kind of prefigures that in his book. And we're looking at how that happens. Now, if you were listening yesterday, we looked at Micah 3, 9 through 12, and I'm not going to read that to you again. But that's a pretty harsh kind of statement in that Micah is talking about leaders. And he says, the leaders abhor justice. They pervert equality. They build Zion with bloodshed. They're dishonest. They take bribes. The priests do their priestly duties for filthy lucre. And then they say, God's on our side, so everything's cool. And Micah, as you would imagine, said, I wouldn't count on it. If I were you, I'd be really careful. And we saw what God was going to do to the nation because of bad leaders. Now, please note that the things talked about here are dishonest leaders. Things talked about here, how they deal with the poor, how they deal with the oppressed. We need to be a compassionate nation, and we need to have compassionate leaders. And we saw yesterday that God judges a nation or a business or a church by its leaders. Let me tell you something. If you think that the best kind of leader for you to have in your church is some kind of weenie, you're out of your mind. You need strong leaders who know God, who speak their mind, who lead. And you need to be praying that your pastor be that way and that your boss be that way. I know we live in a postmodern culture and we're not supposed to be into authority and things like that. And I believe in compassionate and benevolent and servant leadership, but I believe that leaders need to be strong and they really need to lead. And I believe that wise Bible believers understand how important leadership is. Just as a throwaway, somebody gave me a definition or a book of buzzwords and definitions from it. This is the 23rd Psalm about a leader. The Lord is my external, internal, integrative mechanism. I shall not be deprived of gratifications for my vice-rogenic hungers or my need dispositions. He motivates me to orient myself towards a non-social object with effective significance. He positions me in a non-decisional situation. He maximizes my adjustment. Oh, man. Leaders are so important. And listen, friends, we have vested interest in our leaders. Now, I want you to see how Micah moves from something that is very harsh to something that is totally different. Look at the fourth. Now, that follows right after all this judgment where he says, because of you, Zion shall be plowed like a field. That means that the city's going to be plowed down. Jerusalem shall become heaps of ruins. Oh, that's nice to read for your evening devotions. Mountains of the temple like bare hills in the forest. It's going to take the first church on the corner by the gas station and just blow it to smithereens. I'll tell you, that's not very comforting, but listen to what he says in the fourth verse. It's almost like the poem changes. Now it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains, and shall be exalted above the hills, and peoples shall flow into it. Many nations shall come and say, Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, and we shall walk in his paths. For out of Zion the law shall go forth, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between many peoples, and rebuke strong nations afar off. They shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. Listen to me. Someday, sometime, someplace, and you can hang your hat on it, we're going to live in a world that's ruled by a ruler far greater than anything we've experienced in this life. Someday it's going to be all right. Someday war is going to come to an end. Someday, and I'm not getting into any eschatological details here, this could be the millennial reign. And if you're pre-millennial, this is the millennial reign. I'm classically pre-millennial. And so I think maybe that's what it's referring to. But whatever it's saying you can look to the future and it's going to be a whole lot better for the people of God. Someday, sometime, eye has not seen and ear hasn't heard and the mind of man hasn't conceived what God's going to do with his old earth. It's going to be ruled. It's going to be ruled in a way with compassion and with justice and with peace. We love to think of the old days as being better days. They weren't. They really weren't. We think about our leaders being such hard leaders, and we pray, Oh, Lord, bring giants to our land again. They weren't giants. They were politicians then, too. I can remember my father sitting at the dinner table, and he was a lifelong Democrat, saying once, I was a Democrat as happy as could be, and now I'm a Republican, and I wish Truman were a tree. And yet many of the major focuses of our foreign policy started in the Truman administration. And there was probably no man who was criticized for being a scoundrel more than Truman. Don't look back, look forward. When you look forward, you begin to see that God has promised that God is going to create a new world, that things are going to get better. There's going to be a kingdom that has a king that nobody ever elected and nobody ever deposed. Then flip over, if you will, to the fifth chapter of Micah. Let me show you verses 2-4 as we talk about the coming Messiah. And this is something that most of us have been dealing with throughout the Christmas season. You've probably heard this prophecy used over and over again. It's an accurate prophecy. But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one who is to be a ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting to everlasting. Therefore he shall give them up until the time that he who is in labor has given birth. Then the remnant of his brethren shall return to the children of Israel. And he shall stand and feed his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they shall abide, for now he shall be great to the ends of the earth. Now you need to know that when the rabbis repeated that, they were thinking of one coming of Messiah. That there would be a Messiah who would finally come and fulfill what we saw in the fourth chapter of Micah, set up a kingdom, rule everything, and finally get it right. But they didn't understand that there were going to be two comings. One, when part of this prophecy was fulfilled, and the other, when the whole thing is fulfilled. I have referred to this poem a number of times. Ruth Graham is an amazing lady. And I remember when her first book of poems came out, it was called From My Laughing Fire, and it absolutely blew me away. I mean, I just loved the poems. I was in Switzerland at the time. I was very depressed. My wife and children had gone to bed. I don't even remember what I was depressed about. probably God was beginning to show me my sin, and it was scaring me to death. I wasn't as spiritual as people thought I was, but I was really down. There was a fire burning in the fireplace, and everybody had gone to bed, and somebody had given me Ruth Bell Graham's book, By My Laughing Fire, and I sat down and read through that book, not just once, but two or three times. When I finished, the sun was coming up, and so was my heart, and I was feeling so much better about the world. But she writes this poem in that book, and when Messiah, an old Jewish man, and when Messiah comes, he said, his eyes looked through me and beyond, the food forgotten on his plate, silent, he let the minutes wait. His light dawned, and when Messiah comes, he said, the strange thought gripped him, strong, sublime, repelled, and beckoned. I shall ask, is this the first time, or is this the second time? I want you to know, Micah didn't understand what we knew. He knew about God's grace, and he knew about his love. And he gave a prophecy that out of Bethlehem a Messiah would come, but even Micah didn't understand the amazing action of God, which was defined as his love to his people. You think about that. Amen. Hey, if you're not a part of our Key Light Tape CD family, I'd love for you to be a part of it. Now, these aren't the messages you're hearing on the radio. You can subscribe to those, and the Gaffers will tell you how. But these are places where I teach the Bible at Reformed Seminary, at The Cove, at Perimeter in Atlanta. And once you ask us, we will make sure that you get a tape or a CD. You've got to specify which one every 7 or 8 weeks. And they come automatically as long as you want them. They're free. So if you'd like to be a part of it, let us know. 1-800-KEY-LIFE. You can call 24 hours a day. You can write Key Life, Post Office Box 5000, Maitland, Florida, 32794, or Key Life Canada, Post Office Box 28060, Waterloo, Ontario, N2L6J8, or you can email us at steve@keylife.org. And listen, though these are free, they're not free to us, and only a few of the people who are ministered to by the thousands who are able to help us financially. Could you be one of those? Man, you can help a lot of others if you can help us financially. Be generous. You can charge on our MasterCard, Visa, Discover card. And for any donation of any size, I'll send you our Meditations Christmas CD. You're going to love this. This is something you'll keep in your collection free. All you have to do is that. Gotta go. Key Life is a listener-supported production of Key Life Network.